Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 434, 20,819 hours is the title. This comes out on Thursday. The next day, tomorrow, Friday the 25th, my birthday, 57. That's how long I've been alive. 20,000 hours, 20,819 hours. So that's what I decided to title it, because it's, you know, it's taking the focus off of years and breaking it down to moments. You know, each hour, each moment is important and it is special, and it is how you live those in between moments that truly matter. And I know the three podcasts I'm going to make. You know, Zen turned 7, podcast turned 7, I turned 57. So I've been thinking about it for the last couple of weeks, and it was just, you know, pretty easy. I'm like, I'm just going to share how I feel. You know, I say on the podcast, like, I don't feel old. I mean, I know I'm getting older. It's 57. I'm a year older, but I don't feel old. I don't feel different than I felt at 56 or 55. I know I'm more mobile, but I know I'm better mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I feel better. I'm like, wow, the older I get, the better I feel. So there isn't this, like, bad, like, you know, any sort of a stigma with the age thing at all. So, you know, I was kind of happy to do it. And again, it's pretty repetitive of everything I've always said in the past. These are the choices I'm making. And it wasn't this, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm going to do these wonderful things. It was just like, okay, life has got to be better. There's got to be a better feeling that I can achieve just, you know, walking the earth. Like, you know, why do I feel this way? And why are these people in my life? And why am I getting the results I'm getting? You know, all that was a blur to me. I had no direction. I had, you know, and then I hit my bottom. You know, and it was from that point on when I started rebuilding my life. And, you know, I invited all the old people back in and then slowly moved forward, methodically deeming myself worthy and making choices that were not easy. And, you know, my big claim to fame now, I'm the best I've ever been. I have the least of everything I've ever had in my life. And I don't know really anybody else that's saying that. So I'm like, oh, there's the value. And that's where I get to rest in. You know, I get to chill in that. And I get to keep doing what I've been doing and stay where I am. And I'm like, yeah, that dude can have a podcast. He has a message. You know, he went through something. He had a journey. He's got a story. You know, he's hanging out in the end zone with that value. And, you know, he's just putting things out there. You know, so that anybody can walk along, listen, grab what you like, throw out what you don't, apply it to yourself, and walk that path. And hopefully execute it to the best of your ability, so, you know, you're getting these rewards, you're getting those breadcrumbs, you're finding out those truths about you, and they will continue to lead you down that pro-you path. But just remember, some people are going to call it a selfish path. And that's what you got to deal with. And that's what you got to get over with. But, you know, here I am, you know, alive for 20,819 hours. And I'm like, it's just getting better. Every day is getting better. It's not perfect. It's not flawless. I'm not perfect. I'm not flawless. But my life definitely is getting better. And, you know, you think of the world at large right now, you know, it's not headed to much better. You know, a lot of things that are bad are there. They're not going to get better. And some that are bad are going to get worse. So, no idea how much time we have, how much good time we have. But, you know, my point is, it's about that journey. It's about how you feel each moment and each day. And if you're worried about the future and you're worried about the bad, you're not present. And if you're not present, you're not really living. And you should. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. If you'd like to chat, share anything with me, get me as a trainer. Easy to get a hold of on social media many ways, but you can try proupodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to help you. Enjoy. just going to be honest. I've been sitting here transfixed by my screensaver. It's just Zen and my artwork, which is on the beach, and Zen mostly at the beach. And I don't know if it's just different pictures pop up, but I think I just have seen them all. It was just like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the next one went up. Also, I was like, man, I am just, and I cannot tell you how many times I have found myself sitting in front of my screensaver and then being aware of it. And the very first time was a huge epiphany. I didn't think I was even starting the podcast. I was just starting to heal. And I remember I came in the house and I didn't turn any lights on. I didn't have Zen. I didn't turn any music on. I just like was training people or whatever. And I came back and I remember like I, you know, I just felt like I had a good day and I just sat down for a second and I just started watching my screensaver. And then I became aware of that moment. And I'm like, I'm healing. I haven't turned on lights, music, TV. And I'm just completely content, at peace, watching my screensaver. You know, it's got to be 7-8 years later now. And here I am, you know, adjusting my little sticky notes, preparing my story. And hey, I just like that happens. That at this point in my life, my personal screensaver can just stop me. And I can be in awe. And I'm also in a very good mood. Why? It's just how I've been since 2020. And it consistently gets a little bit better. But it is a cool episode. I like the fact that I'm, you know, recording when I have something to say. And even if I didn't have anything to say, the three, I guess, episodes that I will always make is Zen Turn 7 Podcast Turn 7. Tom turns 57. And then I'll start it with the turning of 55 in 2020. Zen 5, Podcast 5, Me 55, 4 5s, add them up. 20, year 2020. Kind of just made me tickle. Warm and fuzzy like. But, you know, as the year progressed, you know, the world changed dramatically. And it I became highly aware that my life was unaffected. And therefore, it just felt more special. And I felt more grateful and more thankful. And that's where it all started. And I was, you know, loving me some Tom. Embraced the temper thing and how much I was working at it. And, you know, you just fast forward. I'm like, you know, I'm good. And today's Wednesday when I record this, the 23rd of March. Tomorrow, which is when you'll be listening, March 24th, and Friday, March 25th, I will turn 57. I will have been alive 20,819 hours, hence the title. And Mojo is the one that kind of turned me on to the calculating. There's a site that you can go to and you just punch in your birthday and it's like, you've been alive this many hours. Because it was at a time when I really was, you know, days were blending. There wasn't a day like, you know, I have a client or not, but it wasn't, oh, this day I do the, oh, that, now I gotta rest. Now, you know, there wasn't the weekend, the weekday. It was just days were blending. And I liked that. I understood how cool that was. And I thought, you know, I'm just collecting moments. The days go by, don't really care. I do the same thing kind of every day, but I'm just keeping my eyes open, keeping my awareness high for special moments. And it was like, well, you know, hours, you know, it's days, you know, all of these things count. You know what I mean? They really, really matter that we did it a year. And, you know, it just, it made it, I guess, more special to me. Like, I've been alive 20,819 hours. You know, like the moment, the hours in the day, those are important. How you spent today, and especially my perspective and vista now being so much about being present, being so focused on today. But I do dig that. I do definitely, definitely dig. Hence, again, why would I make it the title? So what I thought I would chat about is just kind of how I feel turning 57, but I want to chat just about the notes that I have. So one morning I woke up and I had to train Scott. And we've been, you know, we just seem to talk more and more. Like every session we talk like for like a half an hour, 45 minutes after. And I just became highly aware of something. Hardwick had a minor tear in his meniscus. And when it first kind of happened, we were dealing with the shin splint on his one side. And so we were just kind of slowing up the workouts. And then all of a sudden, boom, he goes, my other knee hurts. And I'm like, well, it might be from, you know, compensating. I said, I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't sure. And he says, well, I think I know, you know, what happened. And then it was just kind of left at that. It was like, let me just call you back kind of in a thing. Like, you know, in a day or two. And I had no idea what, you know, if it was bad at first. It was just, hey, my knee's a little swollen. I said, okay, you know, take a couple of days off. Now, in the past, every time a client would travel, cancel, whatever, there was automatically this little chest squeeze. Like, oh, that's money. And not consciously, not something I would go, oh, I'm going to think about this. Hey, this is how I feel about it. It was just that feeling. And it's always been that way. You know, if a client's going to take off, a client's going to leave, automatically in my mind is like, oh, loss of income. And I know everything's been better, but there was like this real kind of poignant moment where I just kind of was like, oh, all right. And I didn't really make a note of it, but it didn't really like, oh, I wonder how bad, I wonder how long. It was just like, all right. Then I get a message from him saying that he went to the doctor and, you know, it was a tear. And he says, you know, don't know how long it's going to be. You know, keep you posted, going to find a physical therapist. And I was like, okay, cool. And immediately after that, I realized how I wasn't affected. Like, I was like, okay, now I, you know, it's been about a week where it's been a little like, where is it? And now we're looking at, I really don't know. Because if you tear it bad, you have surgery. And if you kind of tear it, everybody's kind of done that. I guess it's a very, very common injury. And it just kind of like heals. It just kind of like goes away. But how long, and, you know, it's so individual that the doctor he went to, who's obviously a phenomenal doctor, was like, yeah, I don't really know. I couldn't really tell him. He's like, yeah, I kind of get it. So I was just aware, like, I'm okay. Like, I'd be like, oh, money. Oh, like, okay, well, that's this much I've lost. And so if he doesn't come back next week, that's, you know, I just start calculating all that I want. And I was like, and again, it's not that I was happy or excited. I was just really aware that it wasn't making my blood pressure rise. It wasn't making my heart rate increase. And this night, this last night that I had slept, I just couldn't sleep. It was one of the worst nights I've had. It's like every hour and a half I was waking up. And I'm like, this is really, it's like literally every hour and a half I would wake up going, all right, what's up with this? I remember waking up in the morning and I was like, you know, didn't know what was up with, you know, Chris. don't know what's up with my income. Didn't sleep. And I was like okay with it. And then I thought, yeah, you know what else? Really thankful I don't live in Ukraine. And I was like in like a really good mood. And if you look at it, it's not for any real reason. And I started training Scott, and I shared that with him. And I was like, man, it's just the you know, training your brain, choosing your response and picking which fire to flame, and then being repetitious and being consistent with that, and then realizing, going, okay, this is becoming a thing. Like, this is by default happening. Like, like it's becoming part of like my foundation. It's becoming who I am. It's not, okay, please, please, please think this way, think this way. Try, try, try. Don't feel that, don't feel that, don't feel that. It's just like, oh, wow, that's cool. Didn't feel that. Like, again, observe, just observing yourself. So, and there's another observation. So I have a apartment right next to mine, and guy moved in. And you're always like, you know, what's it going to be? Because it's like right next door. And I'm not sure when. No, it was right away. It was like the first, I don't even know, he had moved in yet. I think my manager said something like, oh, Friday or Thursday through Saturday, your neighbor's moving in. And I was like, Friday. And I just came home, and all of a sudden the AC was on next door, like right next to me. And now that AC, it's like there's my door, you know, 45 degrees. There's his door, and then his AC unit. So it's the closest AC unit to my door. And I keep my door and this little window by my desk open all the time. So I'm like, well, I wonder why that's on. Like, if the manager's turned it on to, I don't know, cool it off before someone moves in or whatever. And it's like a couple hours later, and I know it's still on. And it's like during the night, I know it's still on. Next morning, I know it's still on. And it's like I'm leaving on Saturday, and I see the manager. I said, hey, I go, did the new guy move in? She goes, yep. And I go, he did. And she goes, yeah. I said, oh, I thought you would, you know, turned on the AC unit for some reason or whatever. She's like, what are you talking about? I go, well, the AC unit's been on all night. She goes, it's cold out. I go, I know it's cold out. And I go, I just was like thinking it was just turned on by mistake. Well, fast forward, one of those guys probably runs hot and just going to keep his AC on. And I was like, so there's just a moment. It was great because it was just a moment. And I went, I open up my door and I, you know, let Zen outside and I walk. And it's quiet. Like, it amazes people how, you know, in the middle of Hollywood, it can be that quiet during the day. And it is. It's really quiet in the morning, you know, Sunday mornings. But, you know, just during the weekday, it's just really quiet. And I love it. And I'm like, now I got this noise. And I'm like, it's not too loud, but it's like, you know, if you turn off that AC, there's quiet. And now there's not that quiet because of this AC unit. So I get that it starts kind of getting to me, right? And I'm like, okay, just hold on. Just, I was like pumping the brake on it. Like, don't start. Oh, my God. And I start going, he's a nice guy. Not loud. You know, just, you know, quiet. Keeps to himself. I never really, you know, hear anything. And I'm like, you know, you win. And then his actual sister actually came to visit, and she was super sweet, and we chatted probably more than him and I ever have. But, I mean, she was kind of cool. So there's just like this, you know, I don't know, I just kind of like, you know, let it go in a sense. But I noticed he was kind of not using it as much. And I don't know if it was just because his sister was here or not. So then one morning, I'm, you know, at my desk, and again, this little window right next to me is always open. And there's the guy that just moved in the next apartment, where there's a little Asian woman. Like, she's like 4 foot tall, and I've never heard her say a word. I hear her talking to the manager once in a while, but keeps to herself. All of a sudden, she's just kind of going at it with my neighbor. Like, she's like, I can't really hear like the words or whatever, but I can just hear it, and I hear keep him saying, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I heard him apologize like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, what is going on? And she's just like going, going, going. And I hear her repeating herself. And I can't, I just kind of like, she's not yelling, but it seems like she's kind of beating him down verbally, because she just kind of kept going and kept going and kept going. And I haven't heard this woman say a word. So fast forward, I see my manager a few days later. And she says, "Have you heard any thumping early in the morning?" And I was like, that's crazy. I go, there were two mornings where I would hear this big thump. And then a little bit later, I heard another thump. And then that was it. But it was the next morning I heard it. I mean, I did. I go, but I couldn't tell because I knew it wasn't next door. And she goes, "That little quiet, tiny Asian lady?" I go, "Yeah." She said, "It was her." I go, she looks at me like as shocked as I am. I go, "It's her." She goes, "Yeah, your neighbor who just moved in, I guess, snores. And she couldn't sleep, and then she couldn't sleep, and she couldn't work. And she was just, she's like, you know, telling the manager, like, tell him. You got to tell him." She's like, "No, I'm not telling him." So this woman just decided to start pounding on the wall when homeboy was snoring. And I just laughed because it's like, I, you know, live right next to him. And I guess, you know, where you put your head or where you put your bed matters. But I'm like, I don't hear him at all. I don't hear him snore at all. And I'm like, I'm over here going, "Well, the AC." And I was, you know, like letting it go. I'm like, "Hey, it's not that bad." Because all of a sudden I realized he worked during the day. So I'm like, he's not home during the day. He doesn't leave it running. You know, and again, as lately, I haven't heard it a lot. And it was just such a funny thing for this quiet, little, timid Asian woman to be pounding the wall so hard that not only did the manager below, the neighbor next to her, but two apartments could hear. And I thought, wow. And I thought, well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful I got the AC thing. But again, what people are focused on, it's just, you know, this woman didn't mind pounding on the walls, waking up people at all, instead of just going next door and just talking to the dude. "Hey, by the way, heard you snoring last night, and I was wondering, you know," just have a chat. Now, I haven't gone to the beach a lot, and last almost 2 weeks, I got this new Tide app, and it has been the greatest gift to going to the beach. And it was just this client goes, "Hey, I got this Tide thing, because I've tried these other ones, and there's just, you're putting in all this data, and they give you pick three beaches." And I'm like, "Just, is there just one that says Tide, and what Tide?" And it is. It just says West Coast Tide. And it just breaks it down each day. When's low tide, when's high tide? I'm like, no way. And then it says how much. It'll say a foot, 2 feet. And you kind of got to figure out what that was. But I went out one day, got to the beach around 11:30, low tide was supposed to be noon, and it said 2 feet, and it was big, you know, as far as low tide. And I was like, okay, if it's between 1 and 2, it's probably going to still be cool, but 2 is awesome. And an hour and a half later, I left, and it was a Sunday, and it was this really cool, you know, pretty mellow drive. And I thought, and it didn't really hit me that much, but, you know, if you go out and you don't know, and there's high tide, I mean, you don't get to play, you don't get to, you know, run with your dog, and you drove that whole way, and you know, what do you do now? Then I've never had a bad moment. There's always something to do, but also I'm like, I can pick the time now, kind of. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not going to go, you know, Monday through Thursday, because there's no low tide. I mean, it's okay, try or dry, just guess it. I'm like, no, I can see it's not. And they're like, oh, not till Sunday. So probably now 2 weeks ago I went, and it was a Sunday again. It said low tide 12:30, so I got there around 11. So it's starting to get low. Find my spot, hang out with Zen, do my little creation. Low tide hits. I pack up, I leave, and it was efficient, because that was kind of the thing. I'd be there all day, and sometimes the drive would take long, and I'd get there and be frustrated because there wasn't, you know, the right conditions or whatever. So this was just great. And I drove home, and I'm like, the beach cannot get more perfect than that. And I've had two of those. The last two, I was just perfect. And again, it's probably part, you know, going less, driving less, less traffic and all that. But where I am, like, not needing to go and maybe just, and I know I'm calm. I wanted to say, it's like it was going to come out saying, I know I'm calmer. And it's not like I'm wired. But there's just sometimes when I'm driving, I'm like, okay, I don't want it to be long because it's on my mind going, you're going to be here all day, and then you got to drive back. And there's like this, a little bit of anxiousness. And now I just get in my car, and I'm like, okay. And I was probably driving on the highway speed limit 65, like always around 76, 78 would be kind of, and it's, you know, not a lot of cars on the 101, and at that time of day, I mean, you're going with traffic, and it's, you know, kind of what traffic's doing, people going faster, people going slower, but in that range, you know, I wasn't sticking out or whatever. Then I just, like, one point go, okay, I'm just going to always go, you know, always, it was kind of a rule for a long time going just always only, you know, 10 miles over the speed limit, because you seldom get pulled over for going only 10 miles over. But I just stuck to like speed limit 65. I was going 74. So I just did that for a long time. And again, sometimes I got to get in one lane. I got to pass. I start passing some other people, speed up. But I'm like, as far as like setting my cruise, that's kind of what it was. And then last time I went to the beach, I was going like 72. And then I slowed it down to 70. And I kept it between 68 and 70. And it was like this thing. I wasn't trying. I wasn't like, okay, I got to work on this. I was like, all right. And it was just like, I just felt comfortable at that speed. And I'm like, you know, all these things are aligning. You know, like everything's aligning. Like all the choices I'm making and all the kind of reactions I'm having are for contentment, peace, quiet, and calm. And a little bit of tying in of like, well, what's it like turning 57? I'm like, well, there's a little bit right there. There's a little foreshadowing. And a big discovery, and I shared this with a couple of clients. You know, I, in the past, would wake up, have a free day, and be like, the weight of, what am I going to do? Like, it was just sometimes overwhelming. And I gotten way better. But I notice now, and that's kind of the thing, is you feel better, so the bar raises. So if you dip, you're like, oh, what's that? Is that bad? Did I dip far? You know, you kind of just have to be, again, you have to be aware. You're going to have bad moments, but it's not because you're doing bad. But I would just, like now, like currently, you know, whatever I would have, if it was a day that was majority free, there would be this moment in the morning where I'd be like, okay. And I would start wondering how the day was going to go. And then it hit me one day and I thought, there's never been a day that ended badly since 2020. Like literally, you know, I'm like, it doesn't matter how I feel getting up. It doesn't matter what I have planned. Like I end up having an okay day. Like it just stuck out going like every day you've gotten through, it's been fine. And I'm like, all you got to do is that voice in the morning that's going, wow, big day, empty, what are you going to do? Like, even if you do this, at some point you're going to get, you know, just that like echoing of just emptiness and time and what am I going to do? Because I can't just like, oh, I'll get a client today. Oh, I'll make money today. Well, it's like, I don't have clients. I'm not going to just can't call people and get a new client. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to drive or I'm not going to whatever. I'm just, and then the next day, I had free. I was like, okay, just get that part of that monkey mind out right away. As soon as you wake up, you go, wow, free day. Just like, kick it out. Because what would happen is either like, you know, all of a sudden Zen would want to go for a walk. Or I'm like, let me just go run that errand. Let me just, oh, I got to go get gas. Or, oh, I got to mail that. Or like one little thing would set the day off. And then, boom, that would happen. And this, and da, 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 da. And I remember my therapist saying that. My second therapist, she said, I'll feel funky, and she'll be upstairs in bed. And she'll be like, I don't want to get out of bed. She goes, okay, just go downstairs and make coffee. That's it. Don't plan. Don't think past that. But she says, just that little bitty step, all of a sudden you're moving, you know, your blood's flowing, there's different stimuli, you're upstairs, now it's downstairs, now there's this, there's that, and it's like, oh, there's the dog. All right, let me just walk the dog, and I kind of remember that, and it wasn't so, like, in my consciousness when I was thinking about that, but it was just that, okay, just get out of your head, Mr. Hey, what are you going to do all day? Voice. You know, like, I'll be fine every day. And that really kind of set in, because I was like, because I remember I got a bunch of data every day. I'm going through, staying present, you know, moment to moment. And I'm like, that's all I do. Doesn't matter how it starts. I get through them and I stay present and I stay thankful. And again, these are just like, to me, just like big, big things. Turning 57. A bunch of times, I'll just look at certain people, you know, a few clients, and what they do and what they entail and how busy they are. And I really, I can't, I understand it, but I guess I just, and not in a bad way of comparison or all, but I'm like, you know, a job, a career, kids, this, that. I'm like, no idea. And this one guy I just have a lot of respect for. And it was weirdest feeling, because he's probably his mid-40s. So his parents probably in their mid-60s, mid to late 60s. And he had told me that his mother had visited or was going to visit or something like that, and something else about his mother. And then all of a sudden he said, you know, my parents got divorced last year. And it just was such a weird thing at that. I was like, because, like, you know, successful kids, family, you know, they got money, they travel, you know, all this stuff. But I noticed that the mom had come a couple times, you know, alone, but she had done that in the past. And it was just, that was a yawn. It was just the weirdest feeling. Because I'm like, he was okay with it. He's like, yeah, they should have got divorced a long time ago. And I thought, right away, that's what I thought of my parents. I thought, yeah, they totally should have got divorced. And it was just this, all of a sudden I felt of his mother. And I thought, okay, she's this old, and then this happens. You know, you're so trained, you know, as a couple, as a family, to do and feel, and where you travel and where you eat and what you do and how you celebrate the hall. I mean, everything is so structured and repetitive. It's just built in. And to just break that, I don't know, it's just, if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, it just doesn't seem as, I don't know, as bad, because you've been with each other how long, whatever like that. But it just, like, again, I didn't dwell on it a whole lot, but I was just, you know, because I think of, you know, this client as really being blessed, really doing well, you know, really having it all. And it just had to, you know, it's just got to be weird. You know, like that one thing, because, you know, you're not, you know, no one would wish that on anyone. But it was just kind of getting to my clients, because him, as well as my other clients, are doing really well, like they really are. And there's three that are online. And I sat down one day to chat with one, and I kind of felt this excitement. And next day I had two more. And I felt this excitement each time. And I'm like, you know, I've had these clients, you know, between 2 years, 4 years, 7 years, you know, these three specifically that I'm talking about online. And I was excited to meet with them. And it was just because how well they've currently been doing. And I just paused for a second. I was like, how cool is that? Where I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to get psyched, not trying to get pumped. I'm like, oh, I have so-and-so today. And then I sit down, I get this kind of, I'm like, I'm just excited. I want to hear them talk. I want to, you know, where they are, what they're doing, what's going on. Because I just can, you know, I got a big sense, a big confidence. And then it's going to be good news because where they have attained. And one client in specific had this moment. Had typical, you know, he's got some stomach issues. Hasn't lost a bunch of weight since we started, but he's always doing better in between his ears. And this last year or so, I've been telling him, like, you're getting so close, starting to, you know, it's like you got to do the food, the cardio, and the working out. You got to do those things consistently. And he would kind of do one fairly well and then the other one kind of, and then, but not all three and not all three consistently. But he was just having these moments and these just, you know, shiny kind of experiences that were just kind of keeping him motivated and keep going. Because the beautiful thing about this cat is he's never quit, because he always understands, like with me, like the breadcrumbs. I know it's getting better. I know it's getting better. He might not be on the scale, but I know it's getting better. Feels better. Feels better. So he wakes up and had some stomach issues, and he's got kind of this funky shoulder he kind of needs to address. And we're like, okay, we'll just move through it and do what you can do. And it didn't really bother him a whole lot, and he got through it. And it was a fairly pretty good workout. And I said, well, you know, your stomach didn't bother you. Kind of typical. You know, I'm like, well, your stomach didn't bother you. That was good. And I said, the shoulder didn't come into play a whole lot. So, I mean, overall, it was a pretty good workout. And I said, well, you know, how's everything else going? You know, like the food and, you know, moving on your own. And he goes, well, I feel great. Now, this is a word this cat has never used. Ever, ever, ever. I mean, it's never even been like, oh, I feel really good. Wow, this has been like great. Never. Like it's always, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm working on. And he can see his good, but it was like, just, you know, a regular workout that he's been doing lately, you know, just like, I just was like, in my head was like kind of this screeching of the car brakes going, did he just, and I'm like, you just said, and I'm like, I mean, it wasn't like you woke up feeling great. Your shoulder's not feeling great. It wasn't like that great of a workout. And you said that. I go, do you know how huge that is? Because, you know, this is a guy that doesn't throw that around. He's not going to say it for any other reason. And it was just, and even the next session, we talked about it. And, you know, he's just recognizing, you know, he's good. It was like kind of piercing the veil and getting in on that other side. And I'm like, well, when you look at yourself and you feel good and you like yourself, how does that feel? And, you know, he's getting that, you know, you being your cheerleader, you being your champion, that's the stuff that matters. You can have 52 Toms. I don't know why I just said 52, but it, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're not doing it. I mean, it can help to have cheerleaders and therapists and counselors and friends and family and significant others that love you and hug you and affirm whatever you need affirm. But when you go, you know what? I feel pretty great. It was, I haven't been with this dude over 7 years, and he's never said that. And it's just, because again, this cat's not going to throw that around. He's not going to say that to me and not mean it. You know, he knows. I mean, I'll see through it. I'll call him out on it. But it was like with another client, she took this 2-week road trip by herself. And during that trip, I could kind of feel this shift. She was understanding how easy, how comfortable, and how rewarding it was to focus on her. And when you're away from your home, you know, you're not getting pulled. So it's just all on you. What do you want to do? When do you want to leave? How long do you want to stay? Where do you want to go for lunch? What do you want to eat? What thoughts are you going to allow in your head? Because you're in your car by yourself for a very long time. And she was killing it. And I just started telling her, I go, I think you hit a point and you're not going to go backwards. I go, from this point on, I think you're going to just consistently stay where you are, thus slowly moving forward. Because staying where you are just grows. It's just like an animal. If you work on it, it'll grow more. But if you just stay where you are, it would just, like I said, it just, because of time, because of repetition. But when you like it and you understand it and you embrace it and you own it, how are you going to go backwards? So these clients were just achieving these levels that I could like see. And I'm like, okay, you're there now. Cool. How's that vista? And once you get that vista, you're just not going to step away from it. Because you go, I would have to make a bad choice that I would be really highly aware of. And then I would feel bad. Why would I even do that? And then you just get it. And all of a sudden you're kind of like just holding yourself accountable. So this is, you know, I kind of mentioned chatting with Scotty already. But this was, you know, moments after we chat, I'll text him. And I do that with clients because things will stay with me. And I'll have, you know, thoughts later on that I feel a need to share. So I text Scotty. And I said, just, you know, I've been saying for a long time in the podcast, our chats are great. And they'd be, you know, just kind of once in a while. But now, as of late, it is, you know, he's actually had the time, you know, not getting pulled away right after the workout. But it's been awesome. And the things we share. And I'll share you this because this just came up. There's a couple times where I'm like, oh man, if I just recorded that conversation, I could just play that conversation and people would get something out of it. And then, you know, yeah, wouldn't it be great to have Scott back on the podcast? And then there was this, you know, the movie Elpinus I watched 3 times. A cat goes to a mountain without anyone around him and without a cell phone. Because he wants that experience. As soon as I would press record, it would change the conversation. As soon as Scott and I were going, okay, we're going to do this for a pot, it would just change. It would just change the dynamics. It's just this pure two guys, not, you know, holding back anything, not, you know, just open fire. And I just had that feeling going, it wouldn't ruin it. It would just take away from what it is. And what it is super special. And then I think it was a couple of sessions ago, Scott, he said something about that. Because Scott's done podcasts before with Kevin and Matt. And he's like, you know, I could, you know, do, you know, podcast. He goes, I just know I could. But he's like, okay, but why? That's where him and I are right now. You know, I mean, it's like, but you know, why would you? And that's when I told him, I said, you know, it's just like ours. I think, God, we should just record these. So this was in the afternoon. Wow. Just wow. Internal chat post our chat. So very thankful. You mentioned people get a glimpse, a moment of new/better and wondering if it will stick or they'll go back to their familiar. Some of our chats are so special they stay with me all day. I don't go back to anything. I am present and that doesn't stop when the chat is over. I recognize not being present when I was younger, I recognize not being present when I was younger to realize the shape I was in. I completely recognize/am highly aware of how good it is to be me right now. I will never forget 2020 until the present. One of the things that adds to this being the best time to be me is our chats. I'll never forget what happened with our training, our chats, and our friendship during this time. I've never said the things I'm saying. I've never understood them either. And at that same time, I find a friend with the same mindset. Thank you for being a big, beautiful part of my life. Puppy Park Reflection. So, and here's a quote Scotty busted out during that chat. Acceptance of who you are is the beginning of changing who you are. And I loved that. And that's why I wrote that down. Because it was going, you know, me going, hey, this is who you are. You have a temper. You know, that's probably not going to go anywhere. But as soon as you accept that and you acknowledge that you're working on it and you're trying, and that was 2020, I was loving me some Tom and going, look at your effort that you're putting towards, you know, getting rid of your anger and your temper, how hard you're working on it, way to go. And that self-love was a big component of 2020. And again, here it is, 2022, and, you know, the most consistent night. Well, I've never been consistent because I've never been consistently this good because I've never been this good. Like at 55, I was this good. And now I've been that good and a little bit better ever since. Never happened before. So it is realizing, okay, here's my situation. But it's the tough choices. Like that was kind of, you know, the feeling I had was like, okay, I'm turning 57. How do I feel? Great. Well, based on what? Well, I've never thought how I feel right now, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I never thought was possible. I mean, the physical, yes, I felt in ways, again, bigger, stronger, faster. But I have, you know, more mobility. So it's a cool kind of conundrum with that one thing. But overall, what, you know, if I just sent this a 30-second clip back to me when I was 30 or 20, says, hey, I'm 57. What's it like to be 57? I'm like, dude, you're going to crap your pants. And then it's like, well, you're going to crap your pants twice. What? Well, you're going to crap your pants, number one, because you won't believe how good it is. Two, you'll crap your pants a second time because you won't realize what you went through to get here. The things you don't have, the people you don't have, the choices you've had to make. But it was all because you started deeming yourself worthy. I mean, that's kind of the cool thing. I mean, it's like, why... with my client that said, hey, I'm doing great. I'm like, why do I love that guy? He never quit. He's never given up. Scott Mosier, never given up on his personal pursuit of him becoming the best him. And when you look at it on paper, me either. You know, it was like 48, I was on paper, it was like, dude, you got nothing good. like at 48, there's nothing that you've accumulated, gathered that was good on paper. And it was like, well, why go on? And it's gotten gnarlier. You know what I mean? I'm going to go to AA, and then I'm going to talk to my father, apologize, and I'm going to try with my whole family for another year and a half, and I'm going to go through all this stuff. When I look back, I'm like, that was awesome. Why? I'm like, okay, I got this much left to give to these people. I wasn't conscious, but looking back, hindsight, I'm like, this is how much I have, and I'm going to give it all. You know, just genuinely, sincerely, authentically, I'm going to give you this, my family, this energy that I have left, because I was starting to learn a little bit. And at 51, I was like, all right, I'm reaching out to everybody. I'm doing all the work here. I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to stop texting, calling, reaching out. I'm going to see what happens. It gets quiet. I hear from no one. Not because I'm starting to do good, trying to find my groove. I'm like, perfect. So that reaching out, if they're not reaching out, is just, in a way, wasted time and energy. Like, I'm trying to tether us. I'm trying to keep us connected. What's happening? Well, I did it my whole life, and now I gave it one big hoorah. I'm not getting anything. It's like, okay, great. You know, you can do now. You can take that time and energy, and you can put it towards you. What happened? 52. I go, I'm going to go on a spiritual journey. Sounds fancy. on paper, it was like, you're not going to pursue all the things that you've pursued up until this point. Girls, relationship, family, relationship with your father, friends, money, career, anything. Because none of that that you've pursued has got you feeling any better. But there was this thing that was going on. Like I said, at 50, 51, 52, I was, you know, I'm starting to drive a different way. Looking back, going, yeah, that's when I started it. And at 53, I was kind of like, what am I doing now? It's like, oh, just keep going. You're on a spiritual path. I remember actually going, well, what am I going to do at 53? It's like, you're just gonna keep going. So it's like that was a weird kind of a big going. Okay, I'm just, because it wasn't like I was like, oh, this is it. It's, you know, I shaved my head. I'm wearing an orange robe. I'm up on top of a mountain. I'm meditating. I'm levitating. I'm enlightened. You know, nothing like that was really happening. But there was just breadcrumbs. There was enough good, which I later on called truth. I was just starting to discover these little bitty truths about my life and myself, and I was getting better and feeling better all the time. So there's no stopping me. And again, 2020, as I said, was the big year, kind of because of the numbers, but I was just feeling good, and I hadn't really felt like that. I was kind of fired up to turn 55 because of the numbers, but I was fired up to turn 55 and because it was my birthday, and I just felt good. And then it was just like, boom, feel good, and boom, pandemic hits. And I remember just how it affected everybody. And I just remember going, I'm okay, though. I'm going to be okay. I'm safe. I got it good. And you fast forward, and the only beach that doesn't close in California is mine, the one that I visit. And gas got cheaper. And traffic slowed down. And again, people were struggling with money, with sickness, with kids, with being at home, with what to do with work, with, I mean, it was just everything. And it wasn't just, you know, my town, my state, my country. It was worldwide. And to be kind of sitting there in the center of the tornado and it just being quiet. And my life was easy. And I was incredibly thankful because I was aware. Like, I'm going to get up and walk Zen and do this and do that and go to the beach and come home. And I mean, like, I didn't have to think any different. But I was aware of it the whole time. But that's what's building. You know, 52, the spiritual journey, even though it was, you know, no real clue, it built on 51. 53, 54 built on 52. 55 was all, you know, what everything in my life had built. Like, when I was turning 55, I was like, okay, I worked my entire life for this moment, for this feeling. And I was highly aware that I was not talking to certain people by 55. And from 55 till now, I literally cut out people. Like, whether it was just unfriending them on Facebook or just deleting a contact, or, you know, just kind of letting go of a friendship, or blocking a family member's phone number. I mean, it all just happened. And it was, you know, over a long period of time. And it was just this progression of, to me, it was natural. I was like, oh, that happened. Okay, well, I'm going to do this now. I never woke up going, hey, I'm going to, because it was never about doing anything to anyone. All of my actions were about me and for me. And that's what I'm in charge of. I'm in charge of my words and actions. What I'm not in charge of, in control of, how people receive them. And I, you know, said from the get-go when I moved the first time to Vegas, it's like 50% of the people love you and 50% of the people hate you just because you did something. It's just how it works. You know what I mean? So you got to really just do things for you. And it was like the podcast. I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? And it's like, well, what can I do? I mean, if I try this style or if I try this way and people don't like it, well, then I'm just keep trying different, you know. I was like, well, okay, I could just be me. I mean, that's the easiest. And if, you know, people don't like it, it's like, okay, then, you know, don't listen. But I'm not going to, like, well, okay, I'll try harder. You don't like me. You don't like me. That's cool. Just don't listen then. You know, so it was always this approach of going, if you can find you, it's just easier. If you can be you, it's easier. If you can put your time and energy into you, it's going to be easier and it's going to benefit you. Finding things that serve you. But on the one side, it's this selfish thing to put all that time and energy into you and not talk to certain people. So you see him start jumping up and down and going, you can't just not talk to us. Yeah, I can. And I came up with this visual. It's like building a castle, digging a moat, filling the moat with water and crocodiles, and then pulling up the drawbridge, and I'm up in the very top in the window, and I can see the people. And they want to come in. They want the drawbridge to be let down. They want to come in the castle, lighting themselves on fire to get attention. And I'm like, yep, can't get in. And to me, it's one of the most powerful things, because there's just certain people that can always just reach in and, like, touch you. And then all of a sudden, boom, kryptonite was in your body. And whether it was for that moment or that day or for 3 or 4 days, it would be this thing that you were stuck in. Because we gave people power. We empowered people. Now, it's typically you give people power because, you know, titles, you know, father, mother, husband, wife, you know what I mean? You get a title and you get a role and then you start kind of doing this thing and it's like, okay. And it was like, you know, to me, the feeling was like I was always trying to get water from a rock. That's just sum it up. And it was the greatest moment, because when I was talking to Mojo, was specifically about, you know, my dad in that sense. But now I look at it as the whole family. But he was just like, yeah, you decided, that you didn't need the water from your, you know, you didn't need the water. Even if there wasn't water there, you just said, you know what, I don't need the water anymore. I got my own. And that's where I went into that whole equation about quieting the mind, quieting the chatter, quieting the white noise. It's kind of in a way like it creates space. And what happens to that space? Well, the good that lies deep within inside of you starts rising to the top. Because you start having these experiences that you've never had before. And it's not like I went anywhere. It's not like I won money. It's not like I got anything external. But I'm like, why am I feeling so good? Well, yeah, the quiet, the bad, the yuck is gone, but there's this, and I was like, that's what everybody says. Everything you need lies within you. What does that mean? Now I know. But if you have that noise, that disruption, chaos, you know, in your head all the time, there's no space, there's no quiet, there's no calm, there's no place for that good to rise. So it's just something to think about. Because when I talk to people, I never, and it's kind of been my approach on my podcasts, clients, whatever, I'm never telling people what to do. I'm telling people what I did. You know, I made this choice. Why did I make that choice? Because I'm deeming myself worthy. Now, I tell people, it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't familiar, it wasn't easy. So that's what I'm letting people know. You know, it took me, you know, 55 years to get to a place where I was like, okay, I got it. Whether it's I awoke, I vibrated high enough, I, you know, died and was reborn enough times, or whatever it is. So obviously it's not a quick, easy path. But I'm not bummed at all. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I was like, you're turning 57. I was like, right away, like, I don't go, oh, I'm getting old. I don't feel that. I know I'm getting older, but I don't feel like I'm getting old. And there was this always this growing up, like, I just always go, my father and his friends and our relatives and our neighbors, like a dude at 35 looked like this. I just put them all in a lineup and they'd all blend. And I never looked like that. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, you know, so I've never really, you know, felt my age on, you know, one hand, but then, you know, really starting to run in my 50s. I'm like, that's dope. And then 55 to 57, I increased my mobility. So again, I'm not bigger, stronger, faster, but it's like, hey, I'm older, I run consistently, and I'm more mobile. I'm like, and I'm better than I've ever been. So I win-win. And had this client, and he was talking about age and getting older, and he felt a little beat up and a little sore, and he wasn't sleeping. And he had this, you know, kind of this pull of this tweak. And I said, well, on paper, you haven't slept, you're a little injured, you're a little beat up, and you haven't worked out in a little bit. I go, how should you feel? Exactly like you do feel. But here's the good news. That's the bottom. When, you know, your injury feels a little better and you're moving a little bit more and you get the blood flow and you get the adrenaline, you get the endorphins and you get the workouts and you start checking the boxes and you start doing that, there it is. So in your head, you're like, yeah, I know why I feel this way. Just embrace your reality. The only time we truly suffer is when our mind argues with reality. Oh, reality. Yeah, I should feel crappy today. Okay, you feel crappy. Okay, good. You don't have to feel good about feeling crappy. Just understand why you do. And then realize by default, it's going to get better. You know, the little pull's going to get better. It's going to loosen up. You'll be able to have the range of motion. You'll have the workouts that you had. And, you know, your sleep will get better as it has in the past. So you have this vista of going, well, I know it's going to get better. You know, today was kind of funky, but it's going to get better. And I'm able to say these things and have a lot of these things just come out when I'm talking to clients or I'm recording a podcast because I'm just not talking the talk. I'm walking the walk. You know, I live this stuff. I came up with all this stuff. You know, I'm in it. You know, the things I'm going through, I'm growing through. I'm aware and I observe. And I've always liked to share, but, you know, I'm keeping stuff in my head and I'm, you know, playing with it so I can share it. And to me, that makes me present. You know, I've been thinking about, hey, you're turning 57. That's the next podcast. What are you going to talk about? And I was like, I know what I'm going to talk about. This is how I feel at 57. I feel the best I've ever felt. And it's because the choices I've made. And it's because I deemed myself worthy. Not perfect. Not flawless. Not anything. More than just me. So, in my past, if you've ever heard of the this little ointment medication called Abreva, it's for cold sores. And I shared this in the past a number of times, but I would get a cold sore on my like cheekbone. And when I was a small kid, from the ages of 5 to 10, someone concluded I was allergic to chocolate. And that's what that rash was. So once in a while, I would sneak chocolate and I would kind of freak out and, you know, feel guilty or whatever. And I would get the rash. So it kind of concluded that it was chocolate. Well, once in a while, I swore I did not eat chocolate and I would get the rash. So they brought me to a skin specialist. And when I said, I'm allergic to chocolate, he chuckled and said, well, you can't be allergic to chocolate. You're going to be allergic to things in chocolate, but not chocolate itself. And I was like, well, that's fantastic. After 5 years of skipping, you know, Easter, you know, Halloween, any type of chocolate, you know, in school or whatever. But then I just remember my mother giving me Neosporin, the ointment. So you got this red kind of bump on your face, on your cheekbone, and now you're going to put this shiny ointment on it, which really didn't seem to do a whole lot, just made it shiny. So I'm this kid going through, you know, school, and, you know, for 3-4 days I got this big, you know, it doesn't look like a zit, but it's kind of in that category. But, you know, so it's always been this funky, and then I'd be really self-conscious, so I would worry about it, and that would just... And it was a cold sore, and those things were affected by, you know, nerves. So that's exactly what it was. So I had this my whole life, on and off, you know, just I don't know how long I would go. And this was about a week ago. I had opened up my bathroom cabinet, and I just stopped for a second because I have this Abreva tube that's all rolled down to the very end, because this is like $22 for this little bitty tube. So, like, you know, I keep, you know, I'm going to squeeze out every little drop, but I knew I was getting, you know, low, so I had bought a new one. And I opened up that cabinet door and I looked in there. They both sat untouched. The old one I never finished. The new one I never opened up. And you know when I bought those? I bought the new one. And like the last time I used those was probably right around the last time I talked to my family. So there's just like this glaring reminder in my bathroom cabinet. Hey, remember how you always had that rash because you always got stressed and you always got nervous? You know, you just at that, you know, 40 some years I had that. And then it just stopped and you never had it again. How come? What happened? What was different? What changed? Oh, yeah, stopped talking to my family. Now, is that a fun thing to say? No. Excited or happy that I'm saying that? No, not at all. But again, I didn't do anything in my life to, you know, my actions weren't to, you know, do something to them. I'm just finding my truth, finding my peace, finding my way. And, you know, that's what I'm sharing with people. You know, sometimes it's some tough, gnarly choices. But if you want to have peace and have contentment like you've never had before. Quiet. Creating that space where that good that lies deep within you that you've never experienced starts rising to the top. And you start walking around alone. Without a bunch of money. Without friends. Without family. And going, wow, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for what I have. And you're in that. That's how you feel. That's how you see your world. You're not trying to. You're not kind of doing it. That's how you feel. And there's that little hypothetical that pops into my mind. And you know, if my family were asked, well, why doesn't he talk to you? I just know they're not like, oh, he's good. He's doing good. You know, I just know. I just know they don't see it. And again, that's that tough thing. But I am in control of my thoughts, words, actions. How people respond to those, that's up to them. And again, that's that focus, focusing on what you control, what serves you. And then the last thing I'll say, I mean, I've shared a lot about how I've got here and what I'm experiencing, but this last, you know, I would say probably the focus of 2022 has been today, staying present. You know, this is what I'm doing today. All I have to worry about is today. I'm going to get to tonight and go, that was a good day, and if I'm blessed to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm like, wow, I had such a good day yesterday. I'm so thankful I had that day. I hope, I pray that I get to do that again. And just that day, those three meals, you know, those walking Zen moments, you know, my workout, my foam rolling, my reading, whatever I'm doing, it's today, it's today, it's today. Because I can do that. Like, I can do today. It's not that hard worrying about the future, bumming out about the past. You know, having noise in my head constantly and then trying to get through the day, that I wasn't good at. Who is? So come to my well by the water I sell. It is the water of a man that is turning 57 and is by far the best he's ever been. And by far, he has the least of everything he's ever had. That is the value he has in his message And I believe in the podcast because there it is, you know, 7 years. And that's the story. And this is where I am. This is where I ended. And this is where I'm going to keep going. That's one thing I can guarantee. I'm going to show up, you know, to my clients. And, you know, I'm the wall. And I think anybody can do that. I think anybody can deem themselves worthy enough to become that consistent wall and show up every day for themselves. And do it so well that they soon start having the ability to show up for others. That's what I feel I am. I'm showing up, I'm doing me, and I'm able to show up consistently for others, my clients. So I want to just thank my clients for being awesome and impressing me and doing so well and reaching new levels all the time. And if you are looking for a cheerleader, a Sherpa, holler, proupodcast@gmail.com. Bunch of other ways to contact me on social media. Would love to listen to your story, help you, chat with you, answer some questions, or, you know, become your cheerleading trainer. Thank you for listening, and remember, you are worth it. To your Pro You moment. Stoked you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor. Legs folded if you can. Eyes closed, neutral neck. Shoulders over your hips. Navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. We will slow them down, elongate them. In order to do this, we will connect the mind and the body. The mind, focusing on the breath, connects us. That connection will keep us present. If anything else enters the space between your ears, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability. For 180 seconds, I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Yeah, I always feel the same. When I begin thinking, chatting about the pro-you moment, I'm like, little things done consistently. Tom, you feel good at 57. How'd you get there? Little things done consistently. What else? That's it. I mean, everything I wasn't good at, I didn't do, was unfamiliar. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. So I did a little thing, a little bit. And I did another thing, a little bit. And over time, as flawed as I am, I was still able to improve. And you can improve mentally. You can improve emotionally. You can improve spiritually. But you gotta deem yourself worthy. And that just walks right up next to being selfish. And that's why I'm always saying deeming yourself worthy. Because someone has to. Someone has to see your worth, see your value. And that someone's got to be you. But once you get there, and it starts clicking, and you understand it, because your time and energy are going into things that serve you. You won't stop. You won't go back. And whatever your age is, knowing that you'll be better if you're still around next year. If I'm still here, I bet I'm better at 58. Peace and God bless.